This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little heads up for you bird nerds. The shortened daylight hours and drop in temperatures are all signs of fall bird migration. So now is the time for you to spot hundreds of species flying overhead. And scientists estimate there are about 10,000 species of birds. But have you ever wondered what evolutionary processes led to the diversity in birds? Details in bird feathers are providing clues to the answer. Producer Alexa Lim is on the case.
Bird feathers have many different functions. There's the basics. Softer down keeps a bird warm, and stiffer wing feathers are used for flight. And feathers are also important in communication. Bright plumage can say, "Hey, look at me." And some birds, they even use the shape of their feathers as a communication tool by using the sounds their feathers make to relay messages. A team of scientists wanted to investigate how birds might develop different wing fluttering dialects and how this could play a role in the evolution of bird species. Their results were published this week in the journal Integrative and Comparative Biology. My next guests are both authors on that study. Valentina Gomez-Bamon is a PhD student in biology at the University of Illinois at Chicago and a scientific affiliate at the Field Museum of Natural History. Christopher Clark is an assistant professor in biology at the University of California, Riverside. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me and for your interest in our research.
Sure. Okay, so Valentina, I wanted to start with you. In the study, you looked at a bird called the fork-tailed flycatcher. What got you interested in this particular bird?
Yeah, so it's a common bird in my home country, which is Colombia. Especially in the Llanos, which are flatlands towards the side of the eastern side of Colombia. In these areas, there are times of the year where there are a lot of these birds, so clouds of fork-tailed flycatchers moving around. And then they leave and some remain. But, you know, it made me wonder, why are some leaving and why are some that stay here?
Right, yeah. And I mean, based on its name, it has a pretty distinctive tail. What does it look like?
Yeah, it's a beautiful long tail that looks like a scissor. In Spanish, people call them tijeretas because it's like that's a name for scissor. And I guess it's very descriptive of how they look like. And they also are very acrobatic. So it's not, you know, you see the tail sometimes opening sort of like a fan when they're catching insects. And they're also, they also fight with each other, so you can see them doing this, you know, flying almost upside down and turning around. And so that those flights are very, very interesting and beautiful.
Okay, so there's two subspecies of this flycatcher that you talked about. One migrates and one doesn't migrate. So what question were you trying to answer in this study about that?
Yeah, so there are actually four, but in this place where they coexist, when you can see them together, there's only these two subspecies. They look very similar, and the main difference that they have morphologically that you can distinguish when you have the two birds in your hand is the shape of the primary feathers. And the question that I had was, well, first, you know, do they produce non-vocal sounds with their wing feathers? And then, do they differ? Because we know the shape is different, and this is only found in males. So because it's only found in males, one question was like, well, if they produce sound, is it something that it's produced during a particular behavior, or is it just something that sounds because of the bird flying anytime?
Mm-hmm. Right. And Chris, since you are a feather expert, can you kind of take us through some feather physics 101? How does a bird feather make sound?
Oh, there's a bunch of different ways that feathers can make sound. One of the mechanisms that's really common is that the feather flutters, and it flutters at a stable frequency and gives off tonal sound. And so it's kind of like a guitar string. When you have a guitar string and you pluck it, it vibrates at its resonant frequency. And so when a feather flutters, it's fairly similar to that. What happens is the air flows over the feather and that provides aerodynamic energy, and then the feather starts to oscillate at a stable frequency set by its mass and stiffness. One difference between feathers and a guitar string is that a guitar string is basically a one-dimensional object, and so it has one primary resonance frequency that it will vibrate at. feathers are flat. They're basically two-dimensional, but by having an additional dimension, that means that there's many different ways that they can flutter. So one particular feather might have two or three, or even sometimes more than that, different modes of vibration that it can express. And so what happens is that when a bird is flapping its wings, or in the case of some birds like snipe or hummingbirds, when a bird dives and spreads its tail feathers, by putting its feather out in the airflow while the air is going over it pretty fast, that's what activates the feather and enables it to vibrate at this stable frequency and make tonal sound.
Wow. Are there certain spots or structures on a feather that are like key for sound making?
Usually, yes. The basic one is that the feather often has a modified shape. So, for example, in the feathers that Valentina studied, the outer wing feathers of the flycatcher, there's kind of a notch, maybe a centimeter or a centimeter and a half down from the tip of the feather. And everything distal to that notch, everything outside that notch, the feather is a little bit narrower than it would be otherwise. What that notch does, it separates the feather from its neighboring feather. So that means the feather is not overlapping with the neighbor and it can flutter in that notched region. And then the other thing that often happens is that birds that make sounds by having their feathers flutter is that the feathers also change in stiffness, but the stiffness differences are often really subtle and kind of it's in the microstructure, so it's really hard to see.
Right. And Valentina, how did you see that the flycatchers were making these feather sounds? Like what context did you observe that they were using their feathers to make different sounds?
Yeah, so one was when in the morning, these are some of the birds that wake up earlier in our study sites. And they start singing. And then I started, you know, hearing mm-hmm. their normal song. And then I realized that at a certain point, they would stop singing and then fly like from a perch to another perch. And they would do a little sound that sounded like a song, like, and it was very clear, at least in the non-migrants. And then also when they were fighting. So when they're fighting, they just do a lot of different displays. They show their crowns, they open their tails, they fly at each other, they call, they sing, and also they produce the feather sound. And I mean, qualitatively, mm-hmm. I knew it was the feather sound because I had been following these birds for many years and I started to get to know them. But so then we had to actually make sure that the sound that's being produced is not vocal, but something that coincides with the motion of the bird flying.
Right. Okay. So they were making these feather sounds while they were fighting and also for mating displays as well?
No, I was going to say, so in this case, it's interesting because they are socially monogamous. So I think it's not mm-hmm. necessarily a mating display, but more of a pair bonding display because they produce the sound in every morning during, yes, the breeding season, but they already have, you know, their nest and their young. So it may be also a pair bonding display.
So you recorded the sound of these two different subspecies of this flycatcher bird, one that migrates and one that doesn't migrate. I want to play a couple of these clips so we can get an idea of how different their bird flaps sound. So this is the first clip from the non-migrating species of the flycatcher. Okay, I want to play that one more time. Now the second clip is from the migrating species of flycatcher. Okay, let's hear that one again. This first clip is the one labeled Monicus liberacion, and the second clip is Savannah liberacion. Now you can tell they do sound different.
Yes, so Monacus has one feather that is less notched than Savannah. Savannah has three notched feathers. And then something that we also notice on this study is that overall feather shape also differs between migrants and non-migrants. So migrant feathers are longer and narrower, they're thinner, whereas the non-migrants have wider feathers and then they're shorter. And that potentially affects, you know, the part of the feather that vibrates.
Right, yeah. And can you talk about this a little bit more? You know, these feathers are definitely making a sound, but how do you know that the birds are using this for communication rather than just like a byproduct? Like, you know, humans clear their throats, but that's not necessarily communicating anything.
Yeah, so this type of sound evolves into communication sounds from incidental byproducts. So I like your throat clearing example. Or another one that I use a lot is the footsteps in humans. When you walk down a hall and you make footsteps, most of the time your footsteps, it's not intentional. You're not doing it to communicate with other people. It's simply a byproduct of walking. And if somebody else happens to hear you, they can still know that you're there, but it's not necessarily for alerting them. But in people all the time, we modify our footsteps. You know, you might wear loud shoes or you might tiptoe. And when you do either of those things, you're then intentionally modifying how much sound you produce in order to try to affect whether or not other people detect you. And so wearing loud shoes and walking down a hallway in loud shoes, that arguably is a signal. And so what happens in birds, a lot of the time when a bird evolves an originally incidental byproduct of locomotion and turns it into a communication sound, what they usually do is they usually evolve an instrument. They evolve part of their feathers to actually be different in shape, and that difference in shape is tied to the sounds that they make. So that's what Valentina has with these notched feathers and the outer tips of the wings. It's the shape of the notch is unusual and distinctive. And in most cases, when birds have a notch like this in their wing feathers, they are then making relatively loud sounds with their wing feathers during a specific display. But it is the case that sometimes birds will make these sounds, these types of sounds, and there are no modifications. So in humans, we clap our hands to applause. This is a type of non-vocal communication that we do all the time. And we don't have any special modifications to our hands for making applause. It's simply something that we do behaviorally.
Right. Yeah. So is it that their sounds are different? And like you said, you know, they use them in these different contexts. So then how does this push birds to speciate or become different species? Would they actually become unintelligible to each other?
Yes. There are different ways in which animals, and in this case, birds, can sort of be isolated in terms of reproduction. And so the first one is, right, breeding in different places. And these birds also have shifted breeding seasons or schedules, so they don't coincide at the same time. The migrants, for instance, need to breed, they need to migrate, and they need to molt. And those three things don't happen at the same time, generally, because it's very energetically costly. So that's another way they, you know, they're sort of like isolated. Then the other thing is they do differ also in tail length. So the tail of a migrant is shorter, and in part because it has to fly really long distances efficiently. Mm-hmm. And we know that the tail is also used in this place. And you know, we know that the birds are together at some point of their life. So the question is there chances in which they recognize each other as different things or prefer each other as different things, or do they actually mix? And so we know they don't because we have data from their genes, but it could be that in part is because they are understanding them as a different each other as different things. So there's not only mate choice associated to this sound, but there's a preference to their own particular sound. We don't know that, but that would actually be, you know, a way in which we know that speciation is reinforced. But from all this evidence, I think they are different species. It would be great to know how much this premating isolation, which is the different sounds, actually influences their identity. If it's really something they discriminate, or if it's just, you know, a byproduct that really doesn't make too much a difference just because there's these other reasons why they don't breed.
I'm Alexa Lim, and this is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. Yeah, that's interesting. So then how would you sum up what does this tell us about kind of speciation or evolution, this study?
So for me, what's interesting is that we know there is a difference in ecology. Migrating and non-migrating are very two different strategies. Mm-hmm. And so being different strategies that affect, how many eggs they lay, it affects their morphology, of course, because there's so much associated with flight. Their schedules, how much they're going to eat, when they molt. All these different things, these adaptations and being in different environments and facing different situations, sort of like cascades many different changes associated to that behavior. And those changes sort of pushes the two lineages or these two groups into different morphological trajectories. And because these communication signals are influenced by morphology, because it's the shape of the feather that influences, you know, how they're going to sound, then having that difference in morphological evolution may reinforce or just like bring more correlated differences that sort of make these things different species, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think it's interesting. And the things that will affect how the bird communicates is the environment in which it's communicating, because the properties may be different of how the sounds move in tropical versus non-tropical areas, or the light, for instance, when we're talking about plumage coloration or visual signals, and also the morphology associated to the bird's life or ecology.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. And yeah, when you look at a bird, or you know, or you think about evolution, you look at these like big characteristics you can see. But I mean, the study kind of shows that it's so much more fine tuned. And like Valentina, you said, there's so many cascading traits and effects that are going on that we can't see, but they're there, and you capture them.
Yeah, and also because birds perceive the world differently, so we have to find a way in which we sort of like understand what they're seeing. They see more frames per second than we do. They see more colors than we do, and they probably hear differently than how we hear. So it's important to have that in mind, and also to, you know, not think that a display is only one channel of communication, but that the birds are also moving while they're doing it. And just like in us, while we're talking, we're also moving and saying things with our hands or, you know, our gestures. That may also be important in bird communication.
Right. So the world is a little noisier and more colorful than maybe humans can catch on to.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. Valentina Gomez-Bomon is a PhD student in biology at the University of Illinois at Chicago and a scientific affiliate at the Field Museum of Natural History. And Christopher Clark is an assistant professor in biology at the University of California, Riverside. Thanks so much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
For Science Friday, I'm Alexa Lim.